following program contains adult language and mature subject matter. Listener discretion is advised.
One more time.
So I've been holding One Song Each hostage because what I really wanted to do is, given that George Michael passed away on December 25th, 2016, I wanted to try to get a Last Christmas memorial mixtape for him. I'd really like to cover the George Michael experience. So I've actually got the DVD, Ladies and Gentlemen, The Best of George Michael, but we'll have to supplement that a bit because unfortunately Wham is severely overlooked in this greatest hits collection. One of the reasons why I wanted to wait until at least two of us had some drinks in them is I wasn't sure how we were going to respond to a George Michael memorial mixtape. I don't think that he's as universally beloved as Tom Petty, the subject of our first memorial mixtape. Let's take a moment and look at the Wham years to start with. Could you perhaps cue up Wake Me Up Before You Go-Go?
That I can do.
Hey, is Flock of Seagulls better than Wham?
No.
This is under Wham, right? Not George Michael?
So I'm never gonna dance again the way I dance with you.
That is correct, but this is not
what every I time he go-go. Requests a song tonight, I want you to instead act like you're searching for it, but really just play Careless Whisper. He's got every single fucking time. And you're like, and this is Wham's Wake Me Up Before You Go-Go.
Now it's Wham Rap.
And here's George Michael Faith.
Wake Me Up Before You Go-Go.
And then when he says, play Careless Whisper, play Limp Bizkit's Faith.
Well, I guess it would be nice if I could touch your body. I know not everybody has got a body like me.
Oh, that's right. It did cover it, huh? I forgot.
Off of Limp Bizkit's debut album, $3 Bill, y'all. Or $3 Bills, y'all.
$3 Bill, y'all. Okay. That was off the debut?
I think that was their debut. Which one did you I'm sure they had some shitty indie album, but...
Awake Me Up Before You Go-Go.
Okay.
There you go.
Jitterbug.
And I'm gonna disagree. Flock of Seagulls better than Wham. Couldn't get
away. I don't know, man. This song takes
touchy
me back.
Touchy subject.
Name a second Flock of Seagulls song.
I don't need to.
I remember when those shirts were super popular.
I feel like I'm gonna have to hear one of those Amber Alerts, but it's gonna say Buzz being killed, Buzz being killed, Buzz being killed.
You can pause it if you like.
I thought we were going to do the whole song.
Yeah, or just
we're
stop
do
it.
The whole song.
Hold on.
That would take a while. We've got a fair few songs to go through.
Okay.
This song was always a joke for me my entire life. Yeah. I think Way Before You Go-Go was always a joke. I don't think I was cognizant of music when the song was like legitimately, hey man, did you hear that Wake Me Before You Go-Go? That song is awesome. Hey, right on. Let's go put our slap bracelets on or something shit like that.
Now, for you, it's different. For us, for me, it's waking up to the Kuzu in the morning.
Kuzu in the morning.
And this song coming on as I'm waking up to go to school.
It was a huge fucking hit in the early 80s.
Absolutely.
You could
absolutely not.
The radio could not come on without this damn song playing somewhere. So I remember the song finally waking up with Kuzu in the morning and the song blasting on the radio as all my family members are trying to wash up in one bathroom. We're all fighting over a sink.
May I have a sip of your tasty beverage to wash this down?
That's all that's left. What I remember about the song, besides the fact that it was a huge hit, got a lot of radio play. Watching it today, a little weirded out by George Michael's Choose Life shirt. I assume that's like in the train spotting Choose Life as opposed to being a drug addict, as opposed to Choose Life as in personhood bullshit. But my stepsisters fucking loved Wham. Make It Big was an album that was in heavy rotation when I was growing up around the household. They just thought he was the bee's knees. And so I had sort of a secondhand affection for Wham because of their love of the group.
So I take it you didn't jitterbug through the house.
I did not jitterbug, though.
Oh, that's a bunch of bullshit. Oh, that's a bunch of, I'm calling bullshit right now. No, you jitterbugged your...
He just said bee's knees. I believe he jitterbugged.
There's no fucking ways you didn't say bee's knees and then jitterbug around. I can't fucking say it. Jitterbug around your house.
I have an established commitment to Kenny Loggins' Footloose.
I was going
to
say, you fucking Footloose. You definitely fucking jitterbugged, motherfucker.
And I think jitterbug is just a slower Footloose. Or that's all it is.
Is that two different warriors fucking gangs? There's the Footloose gang right? And the fucking... So somewhere there's some other nerd-ass kid who dances every time he hears jitterbug at Kmart. You so hear...
Frank stood Footloose in the school, and guys jitterbugging right at him.
Yeah, it's like the Crips and Bloods. The Sharks of...
more like Crips and Bloods.
But this was definitely Blue-Eyed Soul, too. There's definitely a strong 60s soul vibe to that song, which makes it a little bit better
than
the average
bullshit.
What are
you talking about?
You don't think there's Blue-Eyed Soul in that song?
There's definitely some 60s soul vibe in Jitterbug.
Blue-Eyed. By blue-eyed, I mean white as fuck. English, pale, doesn't get a lot of sunlight, white, but still blue-eyed soul.
Okay. All right. What's no, that? You can't just put the microphone down. With the
Next selection, Everything She Wants.
That is some feathered hair.
George Michael was clearly an early popularizer of the mullet.
That's straight out of Facts of Life.
Well, that's a straight mullet right there.
I think Andrew Ridgely lacked the finesse of George Michael in the mullet department, though. George Michael's mullet is rocked so hard, it's almost legit. Andrew Ridgely's is just a plain old mullet.
No. George Michael has that bone structure that plays into the mullet.
I mean, it looks like a goddamn prop. That looks like what's the fucking Light and Magic goddamn studio got together and constructed that thing. That looks like a practical effect. That's an excellent mullet.
They must have been getting so much tail back then.
This is a terrible song. I've never heard the song before.
I remember the song.
Why is the guy spinning around with a guitar on stage? There's no guitar in this song. Oh, look at those shoulder pads.
Everything She Wants. I cannot remember if this was a
this
Wham
song. This
song
has 30 million views on YouTube.
Yeah. I can't remember if this was an actual Wham song or if this was a George Michael song that was ported over. I think it was an actual Wham song. Wham. I think it was on Make It Big, and I think it was my favorite song when that album came out, when my stepsisters were playing it all the fucking time. I also firmly believe that Trent Reznor was a George Michael fan, and that the final track on Pretty Hate Machine, Ring Finger, is a rewrite by Trent Reznor of Wham's Everything She Wants.
What? Ring Finger is like one of my favorite Nine Inch Nails songs.
Yeah, I think it's if you listen to the lyrics, it's basically the same premise.
Ring Finger, a promise carved in stone deeper than the sea.
Right. Basically, it's the same premise. It's a dude who's with a chick and...
You just named every fucking song in musical history.
She's basically sucking this guy dry. He's given everything he's got to her, and he's clearly kind of resentful of that shit. Not kind of, a whole lot. He's like really second guessing what the fuck he's doing in this relationship and wanting something back for all that he's given. And in case everything he wants, it's clearly George Michael's just trying to get out of it or trying to figure out what he's going to do now that he's going to have a baby coming up. With the case of Trent Reznor, there is either a ring finger, as in a ring is going to go on the finger, or I think more likely Trent Reznor actually wants to fucking cut off your ring finger and keep it in his drawer or some shit. What do you think? You think he actually wants the finger itself, sort of like a Yakuza kind of thing?
Maybe it could be sever the relationship, as in cut the ring finger off, like he's given the ring and now there's regret.
No, I
sever always, flesh and bone, give it up to me. Isn't that what he says? What's the lyric?
No, I think he actually wants like a Yakuza style physical sacrifice, material sacrifice, body and flesh and bone. Yeah, I believe that's a rewrite of Everything She Wants.
Well, that is a bold statement, sir, and I do not like this song, but I like that song, so I'm a little conflicted here.
I think they're both awesome. I'm fond of both of them, and I actually think that Everything She Wants is at least, I know for a fact it's a top 10 George Michael song for me, possibly top 5.
Are we even recording this?
Yeah.
What's next?
Next up is Freedom by Wham.
Offended.
No, it's the intro. This is the actual official video.
Wandering about.
Oh, that is China.
Yeah, actually, if I recall correctly, Wham was one of the first major Western acts to ever play in China. They basically had to have a special allowance to appear in China, and Wham has always been huge in China because they were one of the first Western acts ever allowed in the country, possibly the first, and they had an enormous concert there in the early 80s.
Those button-down shirts are very bloused out. Definitely the 80s.
Yeah, you guys can just continue if you want. I'm not making you guys watch the whole video.
Okay, yeah, because that was a bad song.
It was a big hit back in the day. It's cute. I'm not a huge fan of it, though.
No.
Last Christmas.
Last Christmas, I gave you my heart, but the very next day, you gave it away. This year, to save me from tears, I'll give it to someone special.
This one, I just had to listen to a billion times because at my job, we have the radio playing, and during Christmas time, a station locally will play nonstop Christmas music, and this one's on heavy fucking rotation.
I would say that
this and next to Mariah Carey.
In 2017/18, this is probably George Michael's most played song.
Yes.
This song, I hear this song all the freaking time. It doesn't help that we're coming out of the holidays, but good Lord.
Yeah.
It's not a bad song.
It's no. Not, as Christmas songs go, I just remember as a kid being off at the... my father's in-laws stuck there listening to the local radio, which of course would be playing whatever could remotely be considered a popular modern hit related to Christmas. So listen to the Waitresses. This was actually before Mariah Carey. And of course, this track, I think it's a very nice Christmas song. I enjoy it for what it is. Anytime after December 25th, I want nothing to do with the song, though.
For sure.
Yes.
So we can move on.
For what? Just tell me the songs, dude. They're all here.
Just tell them the song.
Just tell me the songs.
Yeah, just tell them the song. So far, every song you've named is like right there as soon as you say it.
Is this Wham or George Michael still?
We're going to progress now to George Michael. Outside.
Outside.
As promised.
Should I play Careless Whisper?
And play Careless Whisper and play Careless Whisper.
And now let's go ahead and meet the starting lineup for the visiting Utah Jazz with the help of Sexy Saxman. A 6'8 forward from Australia, number 2, Joe Ingles.
You should go to George Michael Vivo, that'll make it a lot easier.
A 7'1 center from France, number 27, Rudy Gobert.
This is not George Michael Vivo. No.
I didn't want to say
pneumonia, that. Pneumonia, right?
Which song Heart Failure. Want? Outside. It's not in his little subcategory?
Yeah, it's right here, dude. I'm getting a little uncomfortable now.
Outside.
Is this when he got busted?
Yeah, do you remember what he was busted for?
Yeah, glory hole.
No, it wasn't a glory hole.
That was, wasn't that later?
Okay, George Michael got busted, I think, more than once. I think he was...
Solicitation.
No, I mean, at one point he was busted just for jerking off in a men's room. It wasn't even actually sexual... No,
it's got to be a misdemeanor at worst.
It is a misdemeanor. I don't know that he was ever busted actually fornicating, but I do know that sometime around this time period in the mid-90s is when he got busted in a men's room. I think he was maybe doing something with a man, but he finally admitted that he had not had sexual relations with a woman in like a decade or so prior to that. So when you were mentioning how much tail Wham was getting in the early 80s, I'm not sure the gender of that tail. I'm sure you're correct, but I'm not sure
the gender. No, he wasn't specific as to what type
that's
of
why
tail.
I just said tail.
Yeah.
He just said tail.
Well, I mean, at some point, George Michael had relations with women, but I think he was a bit past that by the mid-90s.
Which is perfectly his choice to do.
Yeah, but I do think it impacted on his career because I do think it was a bigger deal to be gay in the mid-90s than it is today, by far.
I don't know, man. When I would hang out my friends at their gay club, they would be playing this shit like crazy, and like they would just go
nuts. Yeah, like
nuts.
You mean in the mid-2000s?
No, early
2000s. How is that relevant?
No, early 2000s, late 90s.
Add 10 years to every time you say a date, and that's the date that it actually occurred.
I remember going in 2000s, man.
So how do you guys feel about Outside, the song where he's actually confronting his marred reputation?
I've never heard the song before in my life.
Did it do anything for you? I think it's a cute disco song.
I have danced to this song in a
gay
club.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's a cute little dance song. It doesn't like blow me away or anything, but it's cute.
It's a disco, man.
It's a nice little disco number. We can move on to Fast Love if you like.
Fast Love.
A 6'3 guard from Louisville, number 45, Donovan Mitchell.
And Careless Whisper, Careless Whisper.
Even though we're not watching the DVD, I'm going by the order of the DVD.
Dude, he's ageless.
I was going to say, like, I've never heard the song before, but if this was playing right now on Sirius XM Pop freaking New York Zoo 100, I would be like, yeah, this just sounds like any other Bruno Mars bullshit pop song. No offense, but kind of offense.
I liked that George Michael had the Logan's Run sex of shuffle going on, but given that he's a gay man, I really think that he could do done better than that latex dude with the fucking Jesus tiara from out of a fucking Madonna video. I think he could definitely do better than that.
I'm just looking at him. He looks ageless, dude. He looks almost the same age.
There are some videos, if you want to explore some of the later material, he does put on some weight, but he pretty much from the 90s onward, he definitely has the Tony Stark laser cut facial hair.
Yeah, he does.
You know,
real.
Just like shit that you cannot do with standard equipment. You gotta have fucking a specialist.
He's got a fucking team that comes in and fucking lasers that shit out.
Yeah. And he perpetually has the Caesar haircut from this point on.
Really?
Yeah.
It works for him really well. I like the Tony Stark mustache logo
too. Well, there's a cool one called White Light with Kate Moss in it from the mid-2000s.
One more pill, just one more bit. One less star. To be free, heartless pictures on TV. Change that channel that could have been me. I say, maybe she just wanted to be free.
And he's got a beard in that, and he's got a little bit of weight on. He's wearing black, and he looks like a mob leader in it, like the mafioso in a, like a Guy Ritchie movie.
White Light?
It's called White Light. You don't need to listen to the song, though. It's not that great of a song, but it's an all right video.
So what's the next song?
Spinning the Wheel. We're going to have to listen to a little bit of this one because it's kind of a slower track.
5:00 in the morning, you ain't home. Can't hear.
So is this is older stuff, later stuff?
This is still from the 90s, mid-90s.
I totally feel like Justin Timberlake is aping the shit out of George Michael.
It feels like it.
And I didn't realize until we were watching some of this stuff.
Even the hairstyle.
No, Justin Timberlake looks like somebody dumped a fucking bowl of spaghetti on his head.
No, the old Justin. The new Justin is very much this.
Is it different like that?
I've never heard this song.
Pay attention to the lyrics.
Good video.
Second verse and chorus, really try to pay attention, okay?
Does he shout out the Rolled Spine podcast in it?
So, do you catch what the song's about?
Help.
I'm assuming AIDS?
A little bit, yeah. Michael's got a lover that keeps going out at night, fucking around with strangers. He likes that trash. He loves chasing that ass. And Michael's basically saying, I'm not going to accept this as a part of my life. One of these days, you're going to bring that shit home to me. So it's like, wow, this is a fucking heavy song for being this sort of like semi-ragtimey, yeah, jazzy kind of thing. It throws me off because I always expected it to be a little bit faster paced because I kept hearing the dance version of that song over the years. And I tried listening to it before we did this recording, and it's like, wow, that kind of sucks. It's just not very good. It doesn't fit well at all. But I think it's a really interesting song, yeah, and definitely with a heavy subject matter that I kind of dig. The thing of it is, though, as much as I like that song, I do feel like it's a bit of a rewrite of a previous George Michael song. Let's listen to that one. It's Monkey. Remember Monkey?
No.
I kind of think that I remember this song.
This song fucked me up because when it came out, it happened to be around the same time as George A. Romero's Monkey Shines, adapting the Stephen King story. And so for the longest time, I thought he was saying Monkey Shines. I thought it was a tie into that fucking movie. Do you guys remember Monkey Shines?
Yes. Yeah, I remember Monkey Shines.
Of course. Do you know what this song is about?
No, I just know that if it was named anything other than Monkey, it probably would have been a much better song. But as soon as he starts going Monkey, Monkey, I'm like, this, you're just killing this track for me, dude.
I love this track. It's at least a top tenner for me on George Michael, possibly a top fiver. And yeah, I agree with you, Fix It. I believe that it's about a lover of his that's addicted to drugs. Yeah. I think maybe like something like Smack. And basically he's being driven nuts because he wants his lover to get off of these drugs. And the lover wants the drugs more than the lover wants George Michael. I like
you guys
song.
Are like goddamn 80s fucking code breakers. It's amazing to me.
I also have to say that in the video, George Michael does more for suspenders and that fucking bullshit hat that he's wearing.
Man, that dance move was played out in the first 30 seconds of that song, though. I don't get what was going on.
Let's do next, Freedom 90.
This one I think I remember.
Very big video in the early 90s.
Yep.
Someone with all the models in it?
Yep.
Supermodels.
Freedom.
I thought this was the Freedom you were playing earlier.
Well, that was Freedom from Wham, and this is Freedom 90.
You could see my confusion.
True. This is a very good song, though. I like this.
Note, all these women are probably in their late 50s now.
Yeah, early 50s, I think. They were pretty young in the early 90s.
So I'm assuming that song is him shedding off his old image of the jacket and the I remember.
Yeah, that's straight out of the Faith music video specifically, where he's clearly destroying his previous image. Everything from that previous album. Basically, when he went from Wham to a solo artist working on Faith, the song that was, of course, most iconic was Faith in the video for that specifically. Yeah. That song is specifically addressed in the song. It's addressed by the video.
Like
he's destroying the jukebox. He's burning the jacket. He wants to make it clear that he is not going to be the boy toy that he was portraying himself as being throughout the promotion of the Faith album.
Really?
Completely rejecting that. Well, again, the song, he doesn't appear in that music video.
Yeah.
It's nothing but supermodels pretending to be him, singing for him, because he does not want to, for the most part, if I remember correctly, for most, if not all the videos for the follow-up album, Listen Without Prejudice, Volume 1, there was never Volume 2, by the way, he doesn't appear in any of the videos. I think it's all people who are, by proxy, performing for him. And it's him just completely destroying the image that was built up around Faith.
How big was the layoff between his last hit and this?
Was there
like a gap before this video came out?
I believe Faith came out around 86, 87, and I believe Listen Without Prejudice came out around 90.
Because I thought that this was like, so this is my George Michael awakening as a kid. When I first really started hearing about George Michael was this song, and it was like he was coming back from some sort of absence. And then all
well, I mean, if you're a pop artist, going for years or so between albums was a pretty big deal.
Yeah. Okay.
And especially when you're doing it in a way where you're...
On MTV, this was a big fucking deal.
Oh, yeah.
They hyped this video. Oh, yeah. They did interviews with the models.
And it's openly critical of MTV, too.
Well, yeah, but I think they did like interviews with the models, telling you the different models that were involved before the actual...
Well, yeah, I mean, it was all the 90s supermodels. By the way, we have favorite 90s models that we wanted?
Cindy Crawford was the only one.
Cindy Crawford was yours?
Angie Everhart?
No. I'm a name... despite her abusive track record, I'm a 100% 100% Naomi Campbell guy. She's still fucking gorgeous to me.
In my neighborhood, it was all about the lowrider chicks. And the lowrider.
Well, good lord. And we're speaking Sharpie of 90s unibrow.
Supermodels. So.
No, but I was a Cindy Crawford and Angie Everhart. And what was the other chick from who was in... Oh my God, I'm getting my 90s.
I was never a big fan
of the
supermodel.
Who was the one in the bad.
Except for Naomi Campbell, I'm with you, but Naomi Campbell is fucking.
Who was the one in the Pierce Brosnan Bond movie?
Kathy Ireland? No.
Kathy Ireland, yeah. So Kathy Ireland, Angie Everhart, who was the redhead, right?
Yeah.
And
Cindy Crawford. Those were the living tribunal of the posters on my walls.
Yeah.
Literally.
Not a thick Loretta pre Sharpie.
You say so.
How do we like Freedom 90?
That's all right.
It's classic.
Yeah, for me, it's top 5, top 10.
Next song.
Killer / Papa Was a Rolling Stone.
I remember that song very well. I remember seeing a video to this song. I guess it's the dance mix. This is the original, right?
No, because you remember the original was Seal. Yeah. So George Michael did this thing in the 90s that I did not really approve of, where he would do a cover of a popular song within a couple of years of that song being popular. Because he did this cover of Seal like maybe 2 years after Seal had a hit with it. He did a cover of I Can't Make You Love Me.
Because I can't.
That version. But was it a club mix?
Well, a lot of his stuff had a dance track to it. And I'll be honest with you, I don't even like his version of Don't Let the Sun Go Down on Me, the Elton John cover he did.
Don't let the sun go down on me.
Yeah. I think he also did a Queen one, right? Somebody Love. He did Somebody Love back then as well. And I really wasn't into the fact that he just kept covering people throughout the 90s.
I didn't know he did that.
It was just a big turnoff for me. Yeah, let's move on, I think. Okay. Unless you guys are really partial to it.
No.
Too Funky.
Is this like a Madonna diss track?
I do feel like George Michael was taking way too many fashion cues from Madonna in the 90s.
I've never heard the song before in my life.
Not like it at all.
It's another dance song. It doesn't blow me away the way that some of his earlier stuff did, but it's solid for that period. Here, let's go ahead and do Faith.
Well, I guess it would be nice. I gotta have faith.
Now, this song I vividly remember. No, wrong song. I Want Your Sex.
Oh, so you thought that it was I Want Your Sex? Okay. That we'll do that one next.
I vividly remember.
Yeah.
I mean, how could you not vividly remember this one, though?
I remember, it's a good song. I remember the song as well.
To me, this is George Michael.
Which is funny because
he apparently didn't like that.
Yeah, I mean, he's destroying that image in Freedom 90, but this is the iconic George Michael, yeah. I think, ultimately. As much as he might try to refute that. Blue jeans, leather jacket, stubble, sunglasses, earring.
The guitar had no strings on it, right?
Well, it's funny to watch his video, which, again, I think came out around 87, how much his posturing comes directly from Elvis. The look, the pelvic thrust, you know.
Yeah. No, I see that.
Yeah, I see it very much. I had cowboy boots like that, too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, nothing like cowboy boots with the silver tips on them, yeah. too. You feel like such a fucking badass rock star with that shit.
I even had the silver heels, so when I walked on here, clink, clink, clink.
Yeah. My uncle had left an old denim jacket in my grandmother's closet. My grandmother passed away, and so I passed that jacket over to my stepsister to try to make it more cool. I used to wear it as just a plain denim jacket, but it was a little out of date back in the 80s. And so I let her kind of like go nuts with it and try to make it more interesting. So she like sewed a Def Leppard patch on it, and she put randomly like rope, like she like threaded rope through like the shoulders of it and something. And so I wore that like one day in junior high, and I was mocked so relentlessly, so savagely.
Like rope, like the chick from Lost Boys? She had rope through the shoulders?
Maybe that's where tassels? She got that from, possibly. But it was actual, like, rope.
How savagely were you mocked?
Oh, well, I never wore the jacket again.
But no, but just like, give us an example.
Hey, he luckily survived the suicide attempt. That's how mocked he was.
I just want an example of what was said to
you. My sister did find a classmate hanging from the basketball court. So it wasn't as savage or whatever that chick faced.
Like, hanging or hanging?
Hanging.
No fucking way, no,
yeah,
dude.
Yeah, she saw it like a suicide herself.
You're about
yes.
to get franked right here. Where anything that's ever happened to you, not even close.
Well, no, I didn't see it. My stepsister saw it.
I was just making a joke and he tried to one up me with a suicide fucking anecdote.
Maybe that's where the rope came from.
They hung him with the rope from their shoulder pads? What the fuck, dude? Cut all this out.
I just want an example of savagery, something that stuck with you.
Well, I can say that I never fucking wore that jacket again, and I don't know what became of that jacket.
Just give me one example of what was told to you.
I can't remember. I just remember being
there
mocked.
Had to be something that scarred you enough.
Dude, I can't. You think I can pick one instance? Yeah, as bitter and hateful as a person as I am, do you think I could pick one instance of me being brutalized by the world that distinctive that puts other instances of that shit happening in relief?
You're asking me to find
it. I'm the person I am today because I had a chappy childhood where people were supportive and loving of me?
I just imagine him walking in and it's just a barrage from teachers and students and the lunch lady.
I have been mocked by teachers, yes.
Here's the mind fuck. His sister put those ropes in there just to get him shit on more.
She probably planned it.
No, I think she legitimately was trying, and I
dude, it was planned. Your downfall was planned way ahead.
Okay, let's do... So how do we feel about Faith, though?
I mean, it's a classic song, yeah. The video super fucking cornball.
Yeah, I love Faith, and in fact, recently when I was at a live karaoke where there was actually a live backing band, that was like one of my top two selections to be the song I would try to sing at live karaoke. But I mean, when you have a live backing band, you feel like you've got a lot of weight on you. You really got to fucking
and I will say, Limp Bizkit did cover that song, and it was extremely popular cover. Extremely popular.
Shit, though.
And I don't know why.
I actually like their cover of Pale Blue Eyes better. Behind Blue Eyes, sorry.
I'm not familiar.
No one knows what it's like to be the bad man, to be the sad man. Behind Blue Eyes.
I'm fond
the
of the who
spell
cover
at the end. Why? They did a speaking spell at the end? No.
Okay, let's do I Want Your Sex.
Now, this song, the reason I brought it up, This was my sexual awakening.
Oh, I can't wait to watch it over again.
I remember seeing this and going, I am a man.
That Asian chick was fine.
Oh, no, that chick walking in lace, I had a thing for lace for the longest time because of that fucking image.
There's a pretty common theme through most of George Michael's videos. This is
no,
like
this one was
hypersexual.
This
again.
One came on late at night. I know it never came in during the day.
Yeah, I remember
and
it being
I
a real scandal.
Waited for this video.
I'm telling you again, man, the more we're watching these, the more I think literally Justin Timberlake is ripping off George Michael's whole career. Yeah,
they all are, dude. Bruno Mars, all of them, they're all just redoing his shtick.
Well, it's funny, too, looking at George Michael with this enormous crucifix earring. Because I remember a girlfriend of mine had a George Michael poster, and we had like a long debate over whether or not his having a left ear earring meant that he was straight or gay. I now recall that code was right earring was gay.
Yes, correct.
A left earring was straight, but I still didn't buy it, and I was in no way surprised when he finally came out. He always set my gaydar off.
Hey, kids, listening to Marvel Superheroes podcast / World Spine / One Song Each. This was a thing back in the fucking 80s and 90s. What ear is his earring in?
Yeah.
Other thing I heard was, so I'm left-handed, so I like thread my belt through one way, and had somebody tell me, oh, if you thread your belt through that way, that means you're gay. I'm like, what? But I'm left-handed.
Right there. Oh.
And then another one was where I put my watch. You wear your watch on your right hand. Oh, you're gay. I'm like, what are you talking about? I'm left-handed. So I write with my left hand, so I have my watch in my right hand. And it's like, no, that's the gay side to put it on. Fucking most unbelievable time we grew up in.
I didn't know you were left-handed.
You didn't know that?
No, I never noticed it.
I've never seen
him write a fucking thing down.
He's literally holding a microphone in his left hand right now. Well, you are too, but...
I was about to say.
Well, I think you're holding it in your left hand because that's your stranger.
That's called the stranger. That's our special guest of the podcast.
Hold on. He wants to say something.
But again, right earring means that you're gay. Left earring means
pirate.
Oh, right
there. That was a scene right there.
Oh, yeah. Ass in stockings. Very nice. But I like the clearly post-coital Asian chick that pops up every now and again.
Post-coital Asian
chick? And I was a man.
Clearly. She's already been sexed, and she's like kind of done with it already.
That's a jizz. That's a more jizz.
The artificial waterfall as cum proxy.
Yes.
No, it's not.
Oh, absolutely, dude.
You're putting your 90s, or you're putting your 2000s streaming video onto this 90s video. Chill out.
No, that was definitely an orgasm sprinkle.
I remember this scene like, please, go, don't stop. And
you're like, where's my Sears calendar or my Sears catalog?
So one of the first girls that I actually was intimate with used to sing this song to me when she was in the mood.
Nice.
Which I thought was always weird. She would either sing this or the Salt and Pepper, Let's Talk About Sex.
Come on, let's talk about sex, baby. Let's talk about you and me. Let's talk about all the good things and the bad things that may be. Let's talk about sex.
Yeah.
That was like her way of telling me she
much
was
better song. Much better song.
That was her
both
way
are solid. I'm not going to diminish either one.
Oh, no, but
both are great.
It was weird because we could be sitting with friends and she'd start singing, I want your sex. Like just singing along, like playing. And I'm like, oh, I know what that means.
I wish I had a girlfriend like that. I just never had that kind of championship action you had, though.
No, dude, wasn't that? It was a cork with her. I thought it was,
Dude, she wanted your sex. Go ahead and own that shit.
The Salt and
be
Pepper song is way
shit.
Better because there's 100% less whoos in the Salt and Pepper song.
Right there.
So Al Pacino
right
got that from here,
skeet,
too?
Skeet. Right there. That was his skeet. Come on. That was his skeet.
Well, it's funny, too, because as cool as this song is, if you listen to I Want Your Sex Part 2, it fucking sucks.
Really?
And he pushed that shit so hard.
Hey, mortgage payment was due.
No, it wasn't that. I think that he really...
He's trying to get that label off, man. He had to make an album to get the label out.
No, I think he rejected this. I think he felt like this was a song that promoted promiscuity. I think
he literally wrote monogamy behind a woman's back.
I agree. And that was part of the video, but I think that he always felt uncomfortable with this song and disowned this song. I Want Your Sex Part 2 is so bad.
But
he's
like,
so fucking wimpy.
I regret writing that song. Then I made
kind of, yeah.
Explore mahogany. That's what he probably had.
Mahogany.
That's what I got watching that song.
Holy shit, I thought he was into just like fine wood furniture this whole time. I was like, damn, this guy really likes fine wood, solid wood furniture.
He's really into solid mango.
He doesn't like that MDF, medium density fiberboard. He's really more into the mahogany.
So
what's next?
Okay, well, you guys have been good. Do you guys want to see some titties and some ass?
What?
You want to see some tits and ass?
Dude, this is kind of, like, when I'm by myself, yes. When I'm with y'all, really no. Like, there's a no to that.
Well, if you want a little, like, reward for all the George Michael you've gone through so far, let her down easy.
You're making me very uncomfortable.
Oh, I got uncomfortable the minute he asked me if I wants to see some titties and ass.
What are you, a C-cup now, Frank?
Even though there's nothing I can say to cheat you and nature anyway, let her down easy. Her heart is on the line. Let her down easy, and you will grow up in time.
Barati?
Is that Crazy Joe Davola?
He's quoting Voltaire?
To quote Dave Chappelle, all this Voltaire is making my penis soft.
So here's the thing about George Michael. As much as I like him, I think that there's a streak of misogyny in his, especially his early work. If you go back to the old Wham stuff, like Young Guns.
Choker.
Yeah. No, you go back to like Young Guns, the whole Young Guns Go For It. The whole song is about him complaining about his friends getting hooked up with a girlfriend and getting too serious with them and not being out and having fun, you know, kind of cursing the chicks.
This sounds very un-George Michael.
You listen to Fast Love, and one of the things he's complaining about is all of his buddies are making babies, and he just wants to have some fun. Even with I Want Your Sex, boys that you trust and girls that you don't. It's very interesting, but then you have a song like this toward the end of his career, and it's much more sensitive, much more caring toward women, and that was kind of nice of him. But I do think it's weird that he had such a strong misogynistic streak in that early work, and I think that it was another indication that he really wasn't interested in the chicks.
What year was this?
This would have been, I think, the 2000s, like 06 or so.
So add 10 years to it.
If you add 10 years, he's dead. So if you listen to the lyrics, it's basically he's saying to some like sort of Lothario that, yeah, I know you're going to pop this 17-year-old chick's cherry, but if you have to do that, try to be kind to her, because at some point she's going to be a woman. She's going to reflect on having lost her virginity to you, and you don't want it to be a harmful memory to her. And the song does actually jump forward in time and have her as a woman reflecting on that moment and appreciating that he was gentle to her. I really feel like George Michael's stuff got too soft as it progressed, just way too wimpy or too much dance stuff. But of the softer stuff that comes along later in the career, I did like this one among the best ones. Plus, the video has boobs.
But see, this is like sad boobs.
Sad boobs.
This is not exciting boobs.
Mr. Fix-It no like a sad boobs.
Not like a sad boobs. Not like a happy boobs.
He not like a happy boobs.
The pointy boobs are happy boobs.
You tell him he got boobs, but these are sad boobs. Mr. Fix-It no like
sad. That make me cry. I should not cry with boobs.
But the thing is we've watched so many music videos over the course of our lifetime, and so when the chick is pulling loose the knot and the robe's slowly coming off, you're like, okay, they're going to cut away, and all of a sudden, like, oh, shit. For once, a video pays off.
Yeah, but those are regretful of boobs. She very regret.
I don't know. Those boobs make me happy.
That's a shame in her eyes.
No, maybe not at the time, but later she
got the bejeweled vagina.
No, but she a regret.
Look at Savalas. Tony
Savalas.
Again with this.
Telly Savalas, you dumbass.
What is that? Vajazzled? What do you call that?
That was definitely vajazzled.
Yeah.
But also a regret.
Yeah, lots of sadness.
Sad and regret.
The tears are used as lubrication. No good.
Why did we turn Italian? I'm not sure.
I think it was a clown. Pavarotti the clown.
Okay. It was all the Voltaires.
Just to increase the level of discomfort, let's jump to Father Figure.
Oh, I know this song.
Yeah.
it's just a song that's really been absent from what we've gone through so far, and I'm just a little concerned, but go ahead and continue.
What you mean?
Well, just go ahead and continue. Year was this?
Again, about 86, 87.
I remember this song.
Oh, yeah.
Is that Nakatomi Plaza? Never forget.
R.I.P.
Now I've got a gun. Ho, ho, ho.
Now I've got a machine gun?
I always loved that fucking sultry sound of this song. Very sexy. But the chick in the video is just way too skinny and androgynous. That was always an issue for me.
So what's this song about, Frank?
George Michael wants to be daddy, which I can appreciate. You know, I want to be daddy too. Daddy's a big thing these days. You guys are aware of this, right?
What?
Being daddy? You want to be daddy. Daddy's like hot now. That's like their code. What the youngins call hot is daddy now.
What?
Yeah. It's a thing.
Then I'm definitely out of touch.
Well, it's like there's a big deal made about who's the vivacious fucker from Stranger Things Season 2? The guy who fucks up with Steve Harrington? The really nasty dude that's like really brutal to his stepsister and shit? Did you see Stranger Things 2 yet?
The punk guy.
Yeah. I remember some girl on Twitter was saying he was daddy, and everybody was like fucking jumping all down her fucking ass. She's like, look, I know the difference between the fictional character and the actor. The actor is daddy. Fucking back off, basically. So yeah, and I in one of our podcasts, in fact, I cut that into there, where they were saying Jeff Goldblum was daddy. So being daddy is a good thing. You want to be daddy these days.
Okay. You crazy kids today.
I'm sure it's on the Urban Dictionary. Well, and especially as you get older, you want to be daddy.
You crazy kids with your detergent pods and your daddies.
Oh, God, the detergent pods. What the fuck is wrong with you people?
I vaguely remember this song.
Was that, what's his name, Greco?
Richard Greco?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
That ain't no Richard Greco, dog.
That would have been like his fucking debut and shit. Oh, I forgot to mention to you. You know who I'm pretty sure directed the Freedom 90 video?
Huh.
David Fincher.
Really?
Yeah. I was definitely down for this video back in the day. I thought it was just super erotic.
I vaguely remember this song.
Just imagine Frank listening to the song with his denim jacket with the ropes. Extremely turned on and confused all at the same time.
He's like, wow, she's really androgynous. What was the word you used earlier?
That was the one.
Man, this is super androgynous.
But, well, see, that's the thing, though, is the actual people involved in the video aren't doing it for me, but the song itself and the way it's shot. I mean, who the fuck directed this one, I wonder? Is this the fucking Dangerous Liaisons fucking Fatal Attraction dude? What's his name?
Look, that looks like Greco, doesn't it?
That's not Richard Greco.
That's not Richard Greco, dude.
I thought it looked like him.
No.
I like how she clearly mouths fuck in a video from 87, too.
I believe the term is fierce.
Well, and I like, too, that that's clearly a gospel chorus by the end of the song. Oh,
yeah. I was like this part.
Yeah, now this one's definitely top 5, top 10 for me. I love this one. Okay, I'm not going to make you guys listen to Older because I think that one's lame. I'm not going to make you listen to Kissing a Fool.
You must have been kissing a fool.
You want to go ahead and do I Knew You Were Waiting For Me? Are you guys okay with that?
I don't know the song.
You will know the song, I assure you. It was a very popular song in its day.
I knew?
Yeah. I knew you.
Michael and Andy Morahan directed that video.
Who now?
Yep. Who also directed Highlander 3.
That's not something to brag about, man.
Well, it happened.
That happened.
That's with the Van Peebles.
Mario Van Peebles, yes. That was one of the first movies I remember wanting to walk out of. I was never a walk out of a movie guy. Once I was in there, I was committed, but I wanted to walk out of Highlander 3.
Like a warrior that fights and wins the battle. I know the taste of victory. Though I went through some nights consumed by the shadows, I was crippled emotionally. Somehow I made it through the heartache. Yes, I did. I escaped. I found my way out.
this song's coming to me.
I remember going to Astroworld and this song playing while I was standing in line waiting for a roller coaster. I always think of that fucking roller coaster whenever I hear the song.
Huh? Who that?
Aretha Franklin.
Aretha Franklin, right?
R-E-S-P-C-T.
That pink Cadillac.
She's still around. Oh, sorry. I thought you were saying R.I.P.
He didn't say R.I.P. He said R-E-S-P-E-C-T.
Find out what it means to me?
And he goes straight to R.I.P. He's like, she's not dead. I'm like, I know.
Aretha Franklin has died at the age of 76.
Odd phenomenon, though, late 80s, early 90s. I realized, I was thinking of all things, I was reminding me of Nana Cherry, and that made me think of...
Up Stance.
That's a good song, but I was actually thinking of Trout, her duet with Michael Stipe, about fucking, and what happens? We find out that Michael Stipe the whole time was gay. And
wait,
so,
Michael Stipe is gay?
You did not know that? Yeah.
Guess I never thought about it.
You probably haven't spent a lot of time thinking about Michael Stipe's. Yeah, I don't think a lot of people really spend a lot of time thinking about Michael Stipe's sexuality. But odd phenomenon is, once again, here is a closeted gay white dude singing a romantic duet with a black woman. It was like a thing.
When she was on that screen in the beginning, it reminded me of Lord Snoke from The Force Awakens.
But let's not forget, too, there's a pretty significant age difference between these two as well.
I do not remember that song at all.
No, it's fine. Not. It's not. I'm not like wild about it. I mean, I'm glad that Aretha Franklin got a late career hit.
Apparently it's an Astroworld reference for you, so it's okay.
Shout out to Astroworld.
R.I.P.
One more try.
Now that's an R.I.P. That's an R.I.P.
Yeah, Astroworld.
Videos in these smoky rooms.
A lot of blue tint,
too. That was a thing back then.
Yeah,
not just
so.
A thing back then. I think it was a very much a George Michael thing back then, too. All those fucking blue filters. Yeah, that was like a signature for him.
It's these dark rooms with like the super highly exposed light coming in, but he's all dark. Oh, you're weird. Lots of silhouettes. Oh, dim shoulder pads.
That's serious 80s shoulder pad, no doubt.
Never go wrong with jeans and boots, man.
Safe. Especially down here.
Yeah.
The American South is very fond of blue jeans and bootcut.
Blue jeans, baby queens, rock on. I've never heard the song before.
Really?
Oh, I don't think so.
Huge
hit. Is there a chorus I'm missing?
It's coming.
This is it, pretty much.
No, it's coming.
I've never heard the song before in my life.
This is one of those songs where the song is called One More Try, and those are the last songs said on the song. So, like, you'll go through that chorus again a couple more times, and at the end, maybe just one more try, and that's the song title. So, they kind of teased that for a long time. Star People 97.
What?
Star People.
So now I just think you're making up shit. Was this him being experimental?
I don't think it's that far from Donna Summer Bad Girls, to be honest with you. Well, so I don't think it's that experimental. I will say this, though, again, in defense of my theory that Trent Reznor was a big George Michael fan, I think that the Monkey samples from the song Monkey informed Trent Reznor's use of similar sounds for, was it Reptile on the Downward Spiral?
Don't you fucking bring me into this goddamn theory of yours, all right?
Oh, shit, I'm stopping that one. Next.
No, seriously, though, wasn't it, was it Reptile? Was that the one where it's got all the shrieking monkeys and shit?
Oh, I don't remember.
Totally from a Downward Spiral, though. I'm telling you, Trent Reznor is a George Michael fan. So we're going to close out with Careless Whisper.
Oh, yeah.
Never heard of it.
Yes! Can we do the 10-hour loop?
Okay, we need to find Rip. He's got a time courier, which means he could be anywhere, anytime, causing a whole mess of problems.
Time can never mend the careless whisper of a good friend. Down to the heart and mind. Ignorance is blind. There's no comfort in the truth. Pain is all you'll find. I'm never gonna dance again. Guilty feeling, got no rhythm. Though it's easy to pretend. No, you're not a fool.
Can we do Sexy Sax Man?
I think this is our second official song.
This song doesn't fuck around. That sax beat is just straight from the very beginning.
Yeah. That grabs him by the
No. Well.
Oh, yeah, no, that's all about it.
Grabs him by the leather jacket.
Well, and again, in the UK, this was George Michael's first solo track. Here in the US, I believe it was actually released on a Wham album. So it's always been that sort of in that gray area. Definitely one of my favorite George Michael songs.
Oh,
possibly
number
my number one favorite.
Number one.
It's funny because I was listening to an interview with Rob Liefeld. We were talking about the test audiences for Deadpool and how well the movie had tested and everything else. And they'd asked one woman why she liked Deadpool so much. And she said simply, "I love Wham." And apparently the fact that they played Careless Whisper in Deadpool was a defining factor for
triggered.
Why she loved the movie
triggered.
Deadpool so much.
Yeah, she got triggered.
I think it's a great song. I think it's even been well covered by bands as questionable
Shinedown.
As Seether. I think
Shinedown.
Seether actually did it.
I like Shinedown.
Seether?
Seether did a cover of this
oh
one, as I recall.
Oh, my God.
I can also say there's a person who spent somewhere between 6 and 8 hours editing a mega mix of dozens of cover versions of this song. The fact that I don't hate this song now is definitely a testament to how good the song is.
Seether and Nickelback have never been seen in the same place at the same time. I just want to put that up.
Hold on.
But definitely a fan of Careless Whisper. I will also tell you, in I believe it was 1988, when I was an even bigger loser than the general vicinity of my life, I got to go to a barber, which is not something I had to do very often. And I actually took a picture of George Michael and asked the barber to give me the George Michael, like, quasi-pompadour faith era, right? And he successfully replicated the George Michael pompadour. And so I then proceeded to wander around the apartment complex where I was living, where I did procure a number of compliments from the lady type people for my George Michael pompadour. Unfortunately, being a dumbass kid, I was unable to replicate said pompadour for any other day. So I had one day of relishing the attention that came from a vague resemblance to George Michael, who I did adore. I saw as a sex god, definitely somebody to emulate. But unfortunately, I could not sustain the pompadour. I could not rock the denim jacket with the rope in it. But I have a lot of regard for George Michael. I realized, though, I wondered why George Michael just did not get the kind of attention that a lot of the other people who passed away in 2016 got. And then as I was researching for this podcast, I realized that really, you've got Faith. There's a few good tracks off Listen Without Prejudice. There's a few good tracks off some of his later albums. I think Faith is a really great album, and I don't think the rest of his catalog holds up enough, but I still have a lot of affection for George Michael. I still see him as somebody to emulate. I wish that I had a fraction of his sex appeal.
Yeah, I was going to say, so like going through this, no offense to George Michael, God rest his soul, I'm having kind of the opposite effect of when we went through the Tom Petty mix, where I was like, holy shit, I like a lot of fucking Tom Petty songs. Okay, and if you would have said, how many Tom Petty songs you like, I'd have been like, I mean, Mary Jane's Last Dance is okay and Free Fallin'. Until we went through the Tom Petty mix, I'm like, holy shit, I like fucking Refugee and American Girl and all these songs. I'm like, holy shit, I like all these songs. And we're going through these George Michael songs, bro. I gotta tell you, bro. I'm just not sure I'm so down with these songs, bro. And they're a little too 80s whimsically. There's a lot of the same sort of whispery pop. Just a lot of repetitive themes. I'm just not so sure that I'm down. No offense with George Michael and his whole catalog, other than Careless Whisper and Faith.
Kenny G.
You know what I'm saying? I'm not trying to be disrespectful to the man, he passed away, but I'm just not so sure I'm such a fan of a lot of these songs that we've been listening to.
I think if you're a child of the 80s, maybe because we're a little more nostalgic for it, because it played so much while we were young, I could see someone of his generation that maybe...
You motherfucker.
...could not appreciate the joy and popishness of his music.
I was expecting for us to sit down for this little shindig here, and for me like, oh, I forgot about the George Michael song. Oh, I forgot about the George Michael song. Instead, it was a lot of songs I've just never fucking heard of. So you got the Wham, fucking Wake Me Up Before You Go-Go, and you got Faith, and you got Careless Whisper and Freedom 90. And other than that, man, I'm telling you, I haven't heard 9/10 of the songs you've played. I've never heard these fucking songs. Or if I have, well, I confuse them with
here's a question,
miscellaneous
though.
Other songs.
How much of that do you think is Texas? How much of that is strong negative reaction to his pronounced homosexuality?
0%.
You really don't think that
No, I don't think so. I don't think so.
I think it played into it.
Really?
I think just like remember
some of these
Dixie
songs
Chicks
were before
like
he became
thing, and then like you never hear Dixie Chicks anymore. I really think that there's something about Texas. I do
no,
think there's
I think it's because the Dixie Chicks suck. I think that might be more
no,
why
Dixie Chicks are pretty damn good actually.
Well, no, but I think it might be because the Dixie Chicks suck, dude. I'm not saying George Michael sucks, but dude, a lot of these fucking songs, like you could piece them together and it's the same fucking song.
I like them. I think that they're sexy. I think they're fun. I think he has a great vocal talent. I do think that the later material just isn't as strong as Faith Era specifically, but I do have a lot of respect and admiration for the guy, and I'm glad that we gave him some kind of a tribute.
Like I said, great voice. I totally think now that I'm watching a lot of these videos and the way he sings that Justin Timberlake's just ripping the shit out of his... Justin Timberlake is totally biting the shit out of George Michael's solo career. But, like I said, the hits aren't there for me. Sorry.
For this for the H, it's Chopped and Screwed. George Michael.
Trip on a trip.
Got screwed.
Yeah, that's never gonna.
There you go.
They chopped it right there. I heard
he's
it.
He's chopping it, and he's screwed. It's an H-Town thing.
That one caught me off guard. Ooh. Never gonna.
All right, man. Okay. Give me my styrofoam cup.
R.I.P. Pimp C.
This fucking sucks.
It's called Screwed and Chopped,
this
son.
This fucking sucks.
And then you made me sit through fucking Monkey. But you're gonna attack
Monkey's
this
a good
shit.
Fucking tune. No, this I like Monkey.
That was a bad fucking
song.
Oh,
you know what? With this one, we didn't do Hard Day.
I'm sorry, man. You put this against Monkey, this is gonna win every time.
No. Bring up Hard Day. Hard Day is one of my favorites. We gotta do. Where's Hard Day?
Man, defending Monkey. Like, what the fuck is wrong with this man?
I like fucking Monkey. Monkey.
Hard Day?
Hard Day.
Well, I'm sure he had a hard day all the time.
Not as much as he liked. I think that's why he got so upset about around the Listen Without Prejudice. He was tired of having to, like, front as a straight guy. And let's be honest,
dude,
he clearly was not. Yeah, I was never surprised that George Michael was gay. Come on. He's got an album.
Now, if you have, like, Bruno Mars come out, like, in 5 years and say he was gay, I'd be like, oh, I did not see that coming. Like,
not like Bruno Mars.
Never been loved for playing games. You can lose your
I gotta agree with Mac there. He's very repetitive.
I think that's true of the 90s. I really enjoyed Faith, though.
His early stuff was very different, but everything after that, this sounds like every other fucking song we've almost heard.
I dig this song, man. This is one of those two where, especially as a guy who's had a lot of hard days recently, this song,
hey man,
you know,
creamer and everyone.
Enters my mind and pleases me.
I see you selected my mug.
I was going to grab that for my wine, but I was convinced to get a
that's my
winey
hot tea
glass
mug.
Instead.
My Batman hot tea mug.
Hey, man, let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. I thought I was going to like more of these George Michael songs, buddy.
Sorry.
Yeah, this selection was a little thin for me, man.
I'm happy that you guys aren't being like outright vicious toward it.
Oh, no.
I really wasn't sure how violently you'd react against the George Michael selection. I'm obviously fond of it. I'm the one who pushed to get this done, but I understand that you guys are just not as appreciative.
Appreciative, okay.
Of his vocal stylings.
I appreciate his early stuff when I was a child. As a man, not so much, man. I can appreciate his videos. His music's a little repetitive. As a man. As a child, though, yes.
Take
I could see how I would like
where
this.
Their eyes can't find
I'm sure the 13-year-old Frank right now is just going crazy in his little denim jacket jamming to this.
Well, just.
Nah, just not feeling it, man.
That or I'm hanging from the basketball court. One of the two.
Oh, God damn, hanging? Like hanging?
Like old Western gallows hanging. Yes.
Oh, no.
Where
swinging from
at?
The gallows pole?
Like, what school is this?
I don't remember. It's been a long fucking time.
But it was
time.
In Texas, or?
It was in Texas, yeah.
Oh, okay.
And out of Spain, a 6'4 point guard, number 3, Ricky Rubio. Head coach of the Jazz, Quinn Snyder. Assistant coaches, Igor Kokoschkov, Alex Jensen, Johnny Bryant. Athletic trainer, Eric Waters.